response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
There can only be one dulcet tone of voice that you hear when the death of Auto-Tune comes on. It is the return of the Youngest in Charles. And Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. Boy, do we got a hell of a lot to get into. Number to hit us up, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. If you want to keep the conversation rolling with me on social media, very, very easy thing to do. It is at NELL_BTP. Let's do it, man. We're going to talk about a whole lot here tonight as we take you around the Beltway. The Washington Nationals, we'll talk about them as we roll throughout this opening hour of the program. We'll get into the burgundy and gold. And then my OGs, Grant and Danny. They divulged the news at the tail end of their program. Myself and Mr. Locked On Wizards himself, Ben Strober, going to be giving you wall-to-wall NBA draft lottery coverage coming up on Sunday following the Nats game. Myself and Ben Strober hopefully are going to have great things to talk about. Hopefully, me and Lil Top, as I like to call him, or Ben the Ben's got a whole bunch of nicknames. That's how you know you've made it in the DMV radio scene, when they give you a nickname. So excited to break my boy in coming up this weekend. No one more deserving of the opportunity. I'm ready to roll. We're going to talk about the Wizards as we roll throughout this program tonight because, you know, despite it being an exciting time to be a Commanders fan because of the quarterback, the new leadership, and then, you know, quite frankly, the taste of success that this group got in 2024, that is the group that gets everybody excited here in the DMV. This year, everyone locally has high expectations for the Washington Commanders, but nationally, not so much. The team that we all need to get behind, the team that we all need to be pounding our chests for, is the old Washington Wizards, the DC family, as I like to call them. Because guess what? When it comes to the Washington Wizards, yeah, I know your boy has a special relationship. I tell you all the time, right? I love DC sports. Huge Wizards fan, huge Redskin Commanders fan. I tolerate the Nats and the Capitals. I'm just being real. I'm being real when I say that, right? I'll never forget, man, 12, 13-year-old Linnell asking, Uncle Steven, can I stay up to watch the Wizards? Mind you, this is the year before the Wizards acquired John Wall via the NBA draft. And I was watching Darius Sungaila and Earl Boykin and Dominic McGuire, just stink up the joint. Andre Blatch, Nick Young, E.G. Enlian. I just pulled an E.G. Enlian because that's a deep cut for you. So I really go way, way, way back with the Washington Wizards. I lived, thankfully, through the John Wall, Bradley Beal era during my college times. But, man, ever since I've come back home to the DMV post-college, the Wizards have been no better than a horse's ass. They've been awful. Then you insert the Wizvengers, as I like to call them. Michael Winger, Travis Schlenk, Will Dawkins. And all of a sudden, don't look now, but the Washington Wizards, their outlook, quite bright. The future is now when it comes to the Washington Wizards. I know fans out there are upset. I know people out there don't like the fact that they had to tank to get to this point. But the bottom line is, when it comes to the Washington Wizards in this draft lottery coming up on Sunday, it's a scenario in which, as fans, we're not used to being in, right? Think about what's special about pro sports. There's a winner and there is a loser. When it comes to the NBA draft lottery this weekend on Sunday, Mother's Day, the Wizards can't lose. When it comes to the draft lottery on Sunday, the Wizards cannot lose. Because they finished with the worst record in all of basketball, they can pick no lower, no higher, rather, than fifth coming up in June's draft. So bottom line, by hook or by crook through hell or high water, the Wizards are going to have, at worst, a top five pick. Now, the hope is, fingers crossed, knock on wood, cross your toes, burn some sage, do whatever the hell you got to do. The reality is the Wizards want that number one overall pick, and if they get it, oh, if the Wizards get that number one pick, I might get locked up for indecent exposure. I may act a damn fool coming up on Sunday if the ping pong balls bounce in the direction, bounce in favor of the DC family. But when it comes to the NBA draft, this is why the Wizards cannot lose. I don't know how many of you have been following along throughout the course of the college basketball season. The tournament was great. Speaking of the tournament, that tournament going to expand to 76. I'll give you my thoughts on that as we roll throughout the program as well. But, man, this draft lottery, this NBA draft period, is chock full with franchise-altering talent. And I don't throw that phrase around lightly. I don't say that facetiously. I mean it. I mean it. I say it with my whole entire chest. No matter what happens this weekend in the draft lottery, the Wizards are going to end up with a franchise-altering talent come June. And when you think about where the organization currently is, you think about acquiring Trae Young, acquiring Anthony Davis, hitting on the draft picks since the Wiz Ventures have got into town. This group, as Will Dawkins likes to say, this group is finally ready to leave and exit the deconstruction phase of this rebuild. It's now about winning basketball games, right? Cap One Arena, where all of you put it on, walking outside of your Balenci, walking outside of your Louboutins. Cap One Arena, usually looked at, Wizards games usually viewed as the Mo Gala. Wizards games are usually viewed as a fashion, a fashion runway, right? For people to pop it, put on your best stuff. Coming up this fall on F Street at Cap One Arena, it's no longer going to be about tanking. It's no longer going to be about the Mo Gala. It's no longer going to be about your lemon pepper steppers. You know what it's going to be? You know what it's going to be about for the first time in a long, long time? It's going to be about basketball, right? It's going to be about basketball. It's going to be about hoop. The DMV, whether people know it or not, is the mecca of basketball. Argue with somebody you love. Hopefully that's me. We are the mecca of basketball, ladies and gentlemen. And our pro basketball team, unfortunately, has not lived up to that standard. I got something for you. Newsflash. The days of Wizards basketball not mattering. The days of Wizards basketball being on the back burner. The days of Wizards basketball being a laughing joke. I promise you. I promise you, as I stand up here in studio and say it, I promise you, those days, ladies and gentlemen, are over. Can't wait. That's how you cut a promo promoting draft lottery coverage coming up on Sunday. Myself, Ben Strober, host of the Locked On Wizards podcast, we'll have you covered wall to wall following Nats baseball right here on The Fan about 3:30 to 6 o'clock. And hopefully we've got something to celebrate. Hopefully me and Ben Strober are celebrating the Washington Wizards landing the number one overall pick. We're just getting rolling here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. Youngest in Charge and L. Willingham rocking out with you as we take you up to 10 o'clock. We got NBA playoff basketball on tap as well. I can't wait to get into that. But when we come back, let's talk about the team that's caused hella traffic here in the Navy Yard region here this evening. The old Curly W's, as I like to call them. 7-5 winners over the 20 Twin Twins. How they get it done, I'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Thank you. Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Still moving and grooving right along as we take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge of L. Willingham. We got NBA baseball coming up here tonight. And the NBA, can I just say this? This is where I go by the youngest in charge, but I'm about to sound like an old man for a second. I'm looking, and I'm on ESPN.com, and I'm looking at the NBA score bug for tonight. And I see, of course, Cavs Pistons game number 2 from the D, and then Lakers and Thunder game number 2 from Bricktown. You know what else I see in small print next to the start time? The two words that every basketball fan, every sports fan should rue: Prime Video. Prime Video. Prime, 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 Prime. Why are these two games on Prime? The NBA playoffs, in terms of the scheduling and the way that they've overlapped games, it's annoying as hell. And for me, you know, 28, young, brash, bold, don't really give a damn about a whole lot when it comes to stuff like this, this annoys the hell out of me. You know why? Guess who doesn't have Prime on their cell phone here in studio? This guy. Guess who's going to have to illegally pirate Cavs and Pistons? Guess who's going to have to illegally pirate Lakers and Thunder? This guy. And I'm not going to have any shame in doing it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I mentioned we had Nats baseball on tap earlier this afternoon. The good guys, winners once again over the Minnesota Twins by a score of 7-5. It was another damn good outing. Last night, if you got the chance to watch the Nats, bats were tacky hot in fuego. And really all season long, we've seen C.J. Abrams hit the ball well. We've seen Brady House hit the ball well. Jose Tena has hit the ball well. The major inconsistencies that we've seen with this year's Nats, and before I start digging on them, I do want to give some credit, right? This is a group that, think about it, right? They weren't active during the winter in terms of spending money, right? They didn't go out and drop a bag in order to get better and to acquire talent. So from my vantage point, and I'm a little bit different than all of you when it comes to the Nats, I'm real. I don't have a dog in the fight, right? I thought this group, for lack of better words, I thought the Nats would stink in 2026. I'm just telling it to you how T.I. is. I thought this group was going to be god-awful throughout the course of the season. And you know what? As we sit here during the early portion of the season, the deeper we go into this thing and this group, you know, continues to hover around 500, you know, staying relevant here in the early portion of the season, that's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for. Because guess what? Remember what the conversation was this winter? You know, trade Mackenzie Gore? Well, if it's not Mackenzie Gore, we know who's going to be next. If Mackenzie Gore does get dealt, we know who's next on deck to get moved. It's going to be C.J. Abrams. And boy, did he hear the chirping and a barking that y'all were doing. C.J. Abrams has been on a tear to start this year. And as we sit here right now on May the 7th, does it feel like he's a guy that's going to be here long term? Here's another one of the great stories of this year. Think about the adversity that C.J. Abrams has had to overcome here in the early portion of his career. You know who else has overcome a bleep ton of adversity to this point? Our guy, K-Bear Ruiz. You all wrote K-Bear totally off. You all left K-Bear Ruiz on an island to starve. To starve. And what has he done this year? Yesterday? Earlier today? Homering? Doubling twice? Driving in 4 runs? K-Bear Ruiz is not chopped liver. Maybe the way the DMV wants him to be. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We got a lot more to get to here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. I see a couple of calls beginning to file in. You know how we get down. It is the People Show. Continue to hit us up at 1-800-636-1067. We'll keep you up to speed with the NBA postseason as we roll throughout the course of the show tonight. As I mentioned, Pistons and Cavs coming up from Detroit. Game number 2. Super duper excited for that. We're going to get into the Washington Commanders as well. There's a veteran DB that was released. I'll tell you whether or not Washington should be interested in him. But the Commanders gave out rookie numbers, and there's one number that they gave out that they should be ashamed that they even handed out. That's next on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One 800 636 1067 is the number on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. The youngest in charge, Janelle Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. The Washington Commanders. Actually got to check the schedule real quick. This is where I'm lacking as a sports media professional. I believe that rookie minicamp for the Burgundy and Gold gets underway tomorrow. So we'll see the debut of Sonny Styles. We'll see the debut of third round pick Antonio Williams. And we're going to get to Antonio Williams here in a second, because the way that y'all treated that brother draft night when he was selected, you would have thought that he came from Maryland School of the Deaf, the way that you all were complaining and moaning and groaning about Antonio Williams. The brother can play. Read up on your ACC football, ladies and gents. Go DM Dabo. He's a friendly coach. He'll respond to you. Before we get into the X's and O's with the rookies, I want to get into the drip. I want to get into the swag. I want to see what the guys are wearing coming up this fall. If you've never played organized sports, if you've never put on a uniform, maybe this goes over your head. There is, and maybe people think this is something so small, it's huge. Imagine, right? Hop in the time machine with me. Not the time machine. Hop in my brain with me. Dangerous thing to do, I know. Sonny Styles, for example, never played professional football before in his life. Coming from Columbus, Ohio, where he's been the man the past 4 years. But when he gets to Washington, when he gets to Ashburn, everything that you did, everything you did at OSU, it doesn't matter. I hate to be harsh about it. You're a nobody at the NFL level at this point. So everything, if you're a rookie, is about doing whatever you can to get yourself comfortable. You want to have a routine. You want to make sure you're eating the same thing at the same time every day. A lot of these athletes are routine-oriented, and that's good. You know what else is a little bit more important than routine in terms of that comfortability? What's the old saying from Deion Sanders? Who, by the way, you want to talk about entering your 50s in style, so to speak. How the hell did Deion Sanders bag Carucci? How the hell is Deion Sanders at 50-something years old walking around with something like Carucci? Hot damn. But Deion, before he became a highly paid team motivator. I don't think he's a coach. I call him a team motivator. He said, you look good, you play good. Part of looking good is having on that uniform in a certain way. Some dudes, you know, like to wear gloves. Some dudes like wristbands. Some dudes like arm sleeves, visors. I was a spat guy myself when I was putting my hand in the dirt. But that number matters more than you all give it credit for. That number matters more than you all can understand. So I'm going to give you all some of the numbers that were given out, all of the numbers that were given out to Washington in their six-man draft class, starting with Sonny Styles. Number 52. Ugh. Sign me up for it. Give me all the Rocky McIntosh feels. Give me Ryan Anderson. Wow, Ryan Anderson. Ain't that something? But in reality, like, for Sonny Styles, I thought he was going to wear a single-digit number. I thought he was going to try to swag it out in his rookie year. 52 fits in terms of the impact that I expect him to have. 52 is great. But I'll say this. When he's wearing number 52, chasing a number 3 wide receiver up the seam, it's not going to look right. It's not going to look right. We'll see if Sonny actually goes into the regular season with number 52. Because remember, these numbers are subject to change. Washington, in their second pick, Antonio Williams, out of the University of Clemson, went with, he knows ball, first and foremost, went with number 14, Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's the first thing that I thought. I thought, you know what? Antonio Williams gets it. You know, when you're driving past, and some of you all out there have kids. I know I don't got no damn kids. But I once was a kid, and I'd be riding in the back of the damn car and saying, Auntie, Uncle, can we stop at McDonald's? You know what they'd say? We got McDonald's at home. So if all of you complaining about wide receiver, we got Amon-Ra St. Brown at home with number 14 and Antonio Williams. Talk about it. I'm excited for him, man. I said it when we opened up the segment. The anger surrounding that pick on draft night, I could not understand. Couldn't get it. Because if you watched him at Clemson, you knew, one, the quarterback situation wasn't worth a damn. Speaking of not worth a damn quarterback situations, by the way, I probably could blow a whole segment on this, but let me just give you the news. Some of you all savior, a man that you all worshipped for a period of time, has decided to call it a career. Taylor Heinicke officially retiring after 7 years in the National Football League. I thought I'd drop that note to you. But as far as Antonio Williams goes, he instantly walks into this locker room and is the second best wide receiver on this team. I'll take it a step further for you all to really understand the affinity that I have for this young brother. He walks into the locker room and is the best route runner on the Commanders from day number one. So for all of you that are upset and flustered that you didn't get your 6'4 wide receiver that runs 4'3 and needs a retwist every 3 or 4 weeks, sorry, you got a regular guy in Antonio Williams. And when I say regular, I don't mean that as a slight. I expect this dude to be a guy that's around 60, 70 catches in year number one. I think he's going to have that type of impact. I expect him, with his ability to win quickly at the line of scrimmage, because he's got the feet, of a route-running savant, he's going to get open quick. He's going to be the safety valve, the safety blanket for that bad man under center, Jaden Daniels. So I expect Antonio Williams to have a big year. Rocking the number 14, I'm even more geeked up about it. I started thinking, who was the last Commander to wear 14? Did Ryan Fitzpatrick wear 14 when he came here? Did Trey Quinn wear 14? 14 is such an obscure number. I felt like if it wasn't for Amon-Ra St. Brown, we'd be joning on the number. 14 is, yuck. Swagless, that's how I would call it. Well, we get to Washington's next pick. Joshua Josephs, the edge rusher that this group was able to bring in from the University of Tennessee. I think when it comes to Joshua Josephs, by the way, he's wearing number 48. Now, I do remember 48, and the last 48 that I can remember here in D.C. is probably going to be a deep cut for some of you if you weren't, you know, suffering with us. Was the last dude to wear 48 here in the nation's capital, was it Lyndon Trail? Did Lyndon Trail wear 48? Some of you are probably saying, whoa, Lyndon Trail, yeah. I'm a big Joshua Josephs fan, though. 6'3", 240, fifth-round pick for the Commanders, a guy that I think is long, has pass rush upside, and give me all the dread-headed edge rushers that exist on God's green earth. There's something about a dread-headed football player. There's a level of not giving a damn that they have and the willingness to run through somebody's face mask. That's what I expect from Joshua Josephs. He wears number 48 now for the Washington Commanders. And then we'll get to their next draft pick. It was Catron Allen, Fat Man, as they're going to call him here in the nation's capital. He's going to don the number 31. The last Washington running back that was drafted that wore 31 ran too tall and couldn't hang on to the football. He goes by one Matt Jones. Scott McLuhan stand up. hopefully Fat Man, and it's going to take some time for me to get used to calling Catron Allen Fat Man. Hopefully Fat Man is a big part of this rushing attack. I expect him to be, you know, that Chris Rodriguez type of dude for them this year, that short yardage back. As we roll throughout the offseason, we'll talk more about the running back room, period, because don't look now. There's a lot of competition in this running back room between Catron Allen, Rashad White, Bill Kroski Merritt, Jeremy McNichols coming back, Jerome Ford. Somebody's going to have to shake a leg or lose one, as I like to say. There's going to be an odd man out in that running back room, and I wouldn't want to be that dude. Washington's last pick, I still am struggling to pronounce the brother's name. Athan Kalia-Minas. Maybe he makes the team, maybe he doesn't. I was stunned that they drafted him because it doesn't feel like he fits what they want to do. I told you there was one number that Washington gave out that annoyed the hell out of me. And here's what I'll say. Josh Harris and company, rarely do we see the Harris group miss the mark. They totally missed the mark with the number that they gave to Washington's sixth-round rookie, Matt Golden, out of Michigan State. You know what number they gave him? They gave him a number that should be retired. They gave him a number that is synonymous with championships. They gave him a number that is synonymous with greatness. The number 66 jersey of Joe Jacoby should not be worn by another member of this organization ever. Hear that, guys? Ever. We should never, ever, ever see the number 66 on someone else's back again. And I know that the folks in Ashburn are probably leaving right now, going to pick up dinner for the wife and the kids. I know y'all hear me out there. Somebody get this message to somebody in the building. Matt Goldman's going to be great. I expect him to push to be the starting center this year. Nobody should be wearing 66. That number belongs to Joe Jacoby, three-time Super Bowl champion for the Washington Commanders. I want to open up the phones on this at 1-800-636-1067. This is for my OGs out there. Do you have an issue with Washington not having Joe Jacoby's number retired? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Matt Golden, rookie center out of Michigan State, going to don the number 66 this year for the Burgundy and Gold. Last year it was Ricky Barber, the defensive tackle, that wore that number, and I was rolling my eyes then. But this is another offensive lineman. If you're an OG out there and you watch the Hogs in their heyday, you know the impact that Joe Jacoby had on this organization. Is it wrong that Washington is still giving out the number 66? Is it wrong that it's not retired? Your calls on that next. One 800 636 1067 is the number here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll get you up to 10 o'clock tonight. We'll keep you up to speed on the NBA playoffs as we roll throughout the show. First half of our doubleheader has officially tipped off. Cavs and Pistons from Detroit. Pistons looking to take a 2-0 series lead. 14-9, Detroit up with about 7-08 and counting left to go in the opening period. Second half of the doubleheader, Lakers and Thunder from OKC. If you check me out on a late nights right here on 106.7 The Fan via Westwood One Sports, you know that I thought the other night, Monday night, was a massive missed opportunity for the Los Angeles Lakers when you consider the performance you got out of LeBron James and the defense that you played on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Lakers looking to tie that series up at one apiece. What we're chewing on right now is this at 1-800-636-1067. Commanders rookie minicamp getting ready to crack off tomorrow. And in light of that, they have officially given out numbers to the newest members of the Burgundy and Gold. There is one number that I took a little bit of issue with that was given out. It was given to Matt Golden, Washington's sixth-round pick, expected to compete on the interior of this offensive line by way of Michigan State. They gave him number 66, a number that's synonymous with greatness, a number that's synonymous with the Hogs. So it's fitting that it goes to an offensive lineman. I just think it's crazy that the number's not retired. You have a problem with Washington not having the number 66 retired and still giving it out here to a rookie. 1-800-636-1067. Washington has only retired six numbers in the history of their franchise. Sammy Ball, his number 33, retired. Darryl Green, I believe that was last year, his number 28, retired. Sonny Jurgensen, his number 9, retired. Bobby Mitchell, his number 49, retired. Art Monk, his number 81, retired. And then Sean T, his number 21 jersey, retired. Joe Jacoby, in terms of what he's meant to this organization and what he did for this franchise and the Hall of Fame snubs and so on and so forth, he's a guy that deserves his number retired here. He is a dude that has done so much for this franchise and represented it so well that I do think it's a little bit crazy that his number's not retired. Am I reaching? Am I making, you know, a big deal out of this, or is it a nothing burger? 1-800-636-1067. Mark is in Maryland, wants to check in. What's going on, Mark? What's going on, brother? How are you, man?
Well, no. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What you got?
I got you. Look, I love Joe Jacoby, and Joe Jacoby should be in the Hall of Fame first. I totally agree with it. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, do I think his number should be retired? Him and Russ Grimm, I would retire both of them at the same time. I think you can't have
one without the other.
Retired, and then Russ not retired. I think those two definitely should be retired at the same time. Because out of that group from the 80s, Joe Jacoby was the most dominant left tackle, period, in the 80s. And John Madden has said this many, many times, God rest his soul, that that was the case. You definitely have to do that. I think those two need to be retired.
So what's, also think Mark, what do you think's taking so long? What do you think's taking so long?
I think because Joe hasn't made the Hall of Fame, I think that has a lot to do with it. And it's very unfortunate because Joe Jacoby should have been the Hall of Fame.
100%. Should be a first ballot guy. For you to dominate your era the way that he did.
Absolutely. I'm in total agreement. I don't know why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Look, B. Mitch should be in the Hall of Fame, too.
100%.
But even B. Mitch would even say, there's no way I should go in the Hall of Fame before Joe Jacoby. No way.
Yeah.
And I just think that Joe Jacoby should be in the Hall. He should have been in the Hall of Fame over 30 years ago, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And Russ went in 08. I think Russ went in about 15 years ago. You know, Art Monk, I don't know why John Riggins' number is not retired.
Excuse me.
That's shocking to me.
Maybe this is something that where the Harris Group is gonna, because they're gonna have that new stadium here in the city.
I think maybe there's gonna be
like a statue of the greatest Redskin commanders of all time.
Oh my
and
god!
At that time, maybe jerseys begin to get retired because I think that only six jerseys.
Well, I think before they do that, you better get a statue of Joe Jackson Gibbs out there.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Mark, I appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. That just opened up a can of worms when talking about, well, whose statue do you build first outside of RFK 2.0? I'm excited for all those conversations. You know what would make me even more eager for those conversations? A winning product in 2026. My quarterback staying upright for 17-plus starts. That would make me feel all the nostalgia, all the feels about what is to come when the new stadium's opened up. If you're just now joining the program, man, Commanders rookie mini camp underway this weekend. So the rookies officially getting handed their new numbers for their rookie campaign. Matt Golbin, Washington's sixth-round pick out of Michigan State, going to come in here and compete on the interior of the offensive line. I'm excited for him. I think the brother can play. I think the team missed the mark by giving him the number 66. Am I right on this or am I wrong on this? Some of you are probably asking, well, who's number 66, Linnell? It's arguably one of the best left tackles of all time in Joe Jacoby. Is Washington wrong? Am I making too much of a big deal of it that they didn't retire this number and that it's still being given out? 1-800-636-1067. Steve is in Houston. wanting to chime in. Steve, what's going on, good guy? Welcome in.
Big dog. What's going on, baby?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, man. Good to hear you. I'm doing good, champ.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Nell, so look, you play ball, I play ball too, right?
Right.
And I'm gonna throw my left hook at you. You might weave on it, but I'm trying to set you up.
Okay.
So I know you game, you ready. So you play D tackle, right? D tackle,
tight end. I'd have done it all.
Okay. So it don't matter. We know ball.
Right.
Name three or four universal great numbers since Boys Club. What, 7, 21, 13?
7, 21, 6. 6 is the one that in my age group, everybody wanted 6 in high school. 7.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm coming from, and now I need the Linero that's going to go to the athlete band.
Okay.
Not so much the fan and the media, so I want you to get in that mindset. And I'm in the minority in what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Right? You see, I'm setting you up.
I'm about to say, look, you about to drop a bomb on us. Look.
right. It's a setup. The left will come in, but I know you're ready for it. So, look, I used to be like this, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to paint this picture like, oh, now I'm of superior thought now because I'm on the other side of the argument. So I used to be superstitious, to hold on the gloves, the cleats, the socks. You were too.
For sure.
You know that.
For sure.
Right? But what I don't like about all our numbers being retired, semi-retired, unavailable. You know, we got like 4 or 5 subsets of categories of retired. It's crazy over there, right? What I don't like is for the future stars to come along, and they don't have access to these sweet numbers. That bothers me.
But and so, Manel, and I hear what you're saying. But 66, to me, I get what you're saying. Big picture. But 66 right. ain't no. I play O line. You know, that went 55 to me. I look at the best O line numbers to me, 55. Trent made 71 right. popular. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
72 is a number that I think is popular, but all them O line numbers are trash. So
right.
it's like.
And I wouldn't mind if the majority of our numbers were still in rotation.
Yeah.
Because what I don't think now. I don't think that, okay, so like Sean, and let me not use Sean T, because I know they hit a sore spot.
Well, yeah, and that's why Dan Snyder's ass, was crazy, acting like he was going to give it to Landon Collins.
Right. But I see, like, okay, prime example, like when we had AP, Adrian Peterson, right?
Right. He couldn't wear 28.
I would love to see AP at 28. That wouldn't have not taken anything away from Daryl Green.
And at the time, Steve, the number wasn't even retired yet. I appreciate the call, brother. We got to get to some more folks. That's fascinating. And Steve always brings it strong. Good caller. I don't know. Maybe it's me maturing here in real time. I get passionate over numbers all of a sudden. Especially with Joe Jacoby's a champion for this organization. It's not like he was just some backup. He was the left tackle of the 80s. So damn right they should have this number retired. But I get it, though. When you have 5 elite offensive linemen the way that the Hogs did, what you going to do, retire all 5 numbers? Can't do that. Pat wants to chime in. What's going on, Pat?
What's going on, Linnell? How you doing,
brother? I'm good, brother. I'm good. Appreciate you tapping in with us.
I'm like you, man. It had to be definitely a mistake. They must have had to overlook it because that man is definitely – his number should definitely be retired. He might not be in the Hall of Fame yet.
Somebody wore it last year. If you remember the Cowboys game on Netflix, they pulled up Ricky Barber from the practice squad. Now, he did play really, really well in the 66. He was a defensive tackle. They put it on him last year. So I don't think it's an oversight. I think it has something to do with they want to really start hanging jerseys, retiring jerseys up at the new arena. That's what I think.
Yeah, that could be too. And then like, say, the first game they have at halftime, man, take him and Grimm and retire them numbers. That'll be a good way to kick off the new stadium, man. And like I say, we got a lot of good players that belong into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, say, B. Mitch.
100%.
And,
B. Mitch, Joe Jacoby.
B. Mitch and Jacoby, man.
Yeah,
Jacoby
sure.
was a beast, man.
For sure.
All right, Linnell, you have a good evening,
yes,
bro.
Yes, sir, you too, Pat. I'm good to hear from you, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number if you want to continue to chime in on whether or not you have an issue with 66, the number of the legendary left tackle Joe Jacoby being handed out to rookie Matt Golden. We'll take your calls plus check in on the NBA postseason. next on the Fan. Party continues here on 106.7 The Fan, the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, rocking out with you as we take you up to 10 o'clock. I promised you we'd keep you up to speed on the NBA postseason. Pistons and Cavs, game two from Detroit. Pistons up 25-18 with 30.9 left to go in the opening frame. James Harden and Donovan Mitchell, 110%, going to be under the microscope tonight. James Harden, 0-for-3 start, 1 turnover, no assist. We'll keep you up to speed on Pistons and Cavs throughout the night. Why are you chuckling, Linnell? Why are you being sarcastic? I ripped into James Harden's ass the other night. I mean, I ripped him a new one. Because I'm a James Harden stan. So to see him struggle the way that he's struggled throughout the course of the playoffs in his career, I can't keep going to bat for him and maintaining my credibility as a sports media personality. So I had to tell it how T.I. is. Ray is in Manassas wanting to check in. Ray, what's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How you doing?
Listen, I listen to you guys all the time. I speak to sports junkies here and there. Speak to Granddaddy. But I kind of wanted to go back to the Granddaddy show where they were talking about Draymond and about the NBA playoffs and Charles Barkley and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
First things first, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I wanted to say, Draymond, he's a badass player.
For sure.
But Charles Barkley won an MVP. Michael Jordan said to himself, I resent the fact that he got it. And in the 1994-95 season, Michael Jordan, who did he beat? The Suns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green, they were talking about the fact that Draymond Green is one of the top five hardest players. Did they forget Charles Oakley, Dennis Rodman, all the other players that came before him?
All that's great, but you can't say, put your personal opinions about Draymond Green to the side. He is one of the few players in today's game that would 110% would have thrived in the 90s, in the 80s. Draymond's a, I say this in the most flattering way possible. Draymond Green is a thug. And has all the good qualities of it. He's one of them dudes you hate to play against, but you love to have him on your team.
I don't disagree with that. But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Top five. Is Draymond Green in top five?
Top five what?
All eras.
Top five biggest crybabies?
Defensive
top five
players,
worst three-point shooters?
Asses.
Top five dirtiest players?
No, hard asses. Because his whole complaint was that he wanted to be a offensive player.
Well, he was, I don't know if that was Reposado. I don't know if that was Blanco that he was off of when he said that. Draymond Green knows damn well his ass would not have been a better player if he would have gotten more offensive opportunities. I hate when we do this, right? You get a little revisionist history. You eliminated from the playoffs. Your time in Golden State may be over. They put you on the big ESPN broadcast. By the way, I heard the tail end of G&D. You all should check out G&D. Weekdays, 2 to 6:30, right here on The Fan, giving it to you raw. Draymond, it feels like the conversation is about Draymond slighting Houston Charles Barkley, which was a stupid thing to do. I think Draymond was trying to push Charles buttons because they had that type of relationship. And if you watch the entire broadcast, I mean, Chuck Barkley went smack at Draymond Green and about their inability to win championships at this current juncture with the Golden State Warriors. So I get a little back and forth that they was having. But those comments, I think, unfairly took away from the fact that Draymond Green may be the best former player studio analyst we'll ever see. He's got the combination of, one, knowing the game inside and out because he's got the basketball IQ of Jerry West. There's an entertainment value that he brings to it. And more importantly, like, no disrespect to Charles Barkley, I want to hear from champions, dog. I want to hear from champions. So the job that he did on the broadcast, I thought was phenomenal. It feels like we, failed to talk about how good of a job he did on the broadcast because of the fact that we were upset at the comments that he made about Charles Barkley. And if you look at Chuck's reaction, clearly Chuck wasn't too bothered by what Draymond had to say, and he shouldn't have been. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. A veteran, former Pro Bowl defensive back was released earlier today. I'll tell you whether or not the Commanders should have interest in this player or not. That's next on The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number. Youngest in charge, and Al Willingham rocking out with you as we take you up to 10 o'clock. We're gonna spin around the National Football League as we ease our way into the 8 o'clock hour. We did get some breaking news earlier in the show, and when I say breaking, tread lightly. Taylor Heinicke, former Redskins, Washington football team, Commanders quarterback, calling it a career. And, man, it's amazing. I feel like my career is so synonymous with the start of Taylor Heinicke's career. I was the leader of the Heinicke Hive at one point, man, as I was cracking in to the sports media world here in the nation's capital. And the Taylor Heinicke discourse in this town really reminded me that there's levels to fandom. There are some of you all that will simp and stan for whoever's wearing the colors, whoever's wearing the jersey. Me, I look at talent. Me, I look at guys that move the needle. Taylor Heinicke was ass. Can we be honest about it? Taylor Heinicke was a bum. Garbage. Noodle arm. But he got the best way that I could put it, he squeezed everything out of his NFL career that he possibly could. And for that reason, I got nothing but respect for the brother. He announced on his Instagram page earlier that he is officially calling it a career. And some of you all are going to love what he ended the post with. He said, and as always, comma, go Skins. So shout out to Taylor Heinicke calling it a career after 7 years in the National Football League. I mentioned earlier that a veteran, former Pro Bowl defensive back had been released. That defensive back is Kenny Moore of the Indianapolis Colts. And Kenny Moore, if you're not familiar with his game, is a certified badass. One of the best slot corners in football, one of the best nickels in football. Physical at the point of attack in the run game. Really good in pass coverage. I love everything about Kenny Moore. And if I was a Commanders, boop, 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 I'd be on the phone with him. 110%. He would be a guy that I call up and say, hey, Slim, what you doing? Got a second? Come to the nation's capital. Washington should have major, major interest in Kenny Moore coming here and helping out this secondary. But As we talk about potential interest in Kenny Moore, I can't help, and this is what we're going to do right now, I can't help but put this Washington Commanders defensive backs room under the microscope. I can't help it. Now, obviously, they're ushering in a new defensive scheme under new defensive coordinator Durante Jones. Right now, the defensive back room for Washington is kind of fascinating. If you were to inject me with truth serum, here is how I think the starting defensive backfield would look if the season started today. I think your number one corner would be second-year corner out of Ole Miss, Trey Amos. Now, obviously, the big story with Trey Amos is going to be health, right? While he was healthy a season ago, pretty damn good football player. Confident, got a swagger about him. And I got to watch him up close in person at training camp, and he was one of the more impressive dudes to me coming out of the summer. Obviously, his year was cut short due to injury, but I expect him to bounce back in a major way in year number two. And I don't know if we all understand really just how good Trey Amos has the potential to be. Long, can run, physical. I love everything about him. Right now, the season started today. He is your number one corner. He is your number one corner for the Washington Commanders. The number two corner is going to be a hot button debate. I think there should be a competition for the outside corner spot between two dudes, between Mike Samristil and Akello Witherspoon, the veteran that Washington brought in via free agency. Last playing for Sean McVay in the LA Rams. I would be letting those two duke it out. Now, if Mike Samristil can't beat out Akello Witherspoon, you got a problem. I'm not just going to give the outside corner spot to Mikey, though. I'm not. I think he's the most talented guy that we have on the outside, outside of Trey Amos. And I think more so, and more likely than not, it's going to be Trey Amos and Mike Samristil at the outside corner. And then Washington, their free agent acquisition, Amik Robertson from the Detroit Lions, I think he slots in as your nickel. So those are the three corners, Trey Amos, Mike Samristil, Amik Robertson. I think Kenny Moore comes in here and is your starting nickel from day one. Or, depending on how you feel about him, he could be one of your starting safeties. Kenny Moore is a versatile chess piece defensively. Guy that can play safety, guy that can play nickel, corner, whatever you want him to do, he can do it. Kenny Moore is the real deal. Pro Bowler in 2022 and started 111 games during his time in Indianapolis with the Colts. Not saying he's a gotta-have-him guy, but I'd be damn interested in bringing him in. As far as the safety spot goes for Washington, obviously you brought in Nick Cross. He's going to be one of your starting safeties. The other safety spot to me is fascinating. Quan Martin had an up and down 2025 campaign. But like, to me, I don't know, man. I'm torn on Quan. Torn on Quan and torn on Mike Samristil. Because the year one under Dan Quinn, those two dudes were so impactful to this defense. To where now, to see what happened to him last year, like, what was the real version of those two? 24 or this past season? That's the question here. But right now, if you had to, you know, inject me with truth serum, I would think that Quan Martin's a starting free safety. The other piece of it is this that I think we sometimes forget when it comes to Washington's defensive back room. The kid out of Robert Morris last year that they brought in, I think it was Robert McDaniel. The kid that they brought in, he was on the practice squad all year. I think he's going to be in the mix. I also think Will Harris is going to be in the mix. I also think Tyler Owens is going to be in the mix. There's going to be real competition at safety. I firmly expect that. I know how I like to get down, man. I want everybody competing. I want the damn chefs competing, you know, for who makes the juiciest sirloin. I want the damn janitors competing for who scrubbed the toilets the best. I want the strength and conditioning coaches competing for who gets people the swolest. Competition rules the world. So I want it here in D.C. too. But may the best man win. It's kind of how I look at it. May the best man win. I don't know if the need at corner, I don't know if the need at corner is as pressing as some people make it, if I'm being honest. Seriously. I don't know if the need at corner is as pressing as some people make it. I feel the same way about wide receiver too, by the way. Another position that you all act as if the cupboard is bare and we're playing with high schoolers. That's how we're treating it. I want to open up the phones on this at 1-800-636-1067. As we sit here on May the 7th of 2026, what is a bigger need for the 26 Washington Commanders? Is it corner or is it wide receiver? 1-800-636-1067. We just put the cornerback room under the microscope. I gave you my projected starters. I want to go to wide receiver now here for a second. Because here's the thing about the wide receiver spot for the Commanders. Maybe I'm totally wrong right? Maybe I'm totally wrong, and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I got a hard time believing that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and David Blau and the decision makers there in D.C., I got a hard time believing that they're going to go into the season with this being the wide receiver room. And I'm going to read out the names. Terry McLaurin, Treylon Burks, Van Jefferson, Luke McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown, Ja'Cory Brooks, Antonio Williams, Jalen Lane, Jacoby Jones, and I didn't mention Nick Nash because I was thinking, who the hell is Nick Nash? That's just the reality of the situation, though, right? That group to me isn't very deep, right? And I'm calling a spade a spade. Terry McLaurin, and I know I may be, you know, different from a lot of y'all with this. I look at Terry McLaurin as a legitimate bona fide number one in this league. I'm not of the ilk that y'all are of, that y'all just going to slander the brother any chance you get. I think Terry McLaurin is the real deal. Just how I feel about it. So as long as he is upright and healthy, I think you'll be okay. The problem lies where if he goes down, and you saw it last year, right? But when he was healthy, without a shadow of a doubt, he's the real deal. Terry still got it at age 31. No doubt about it. But this wide receiver room, if they do nothing else to it, you're talking about Terry McLaurin. To me, if you do nothing to the wide receiver room, knowing what I know about the players, I would think that Terry is your number one and lined up on outside the numbers. And then you got Treylon Burks as the other receiver outside the numbers. And then I would look at Antonio Williams as my starting slot. And then I would have Jalen Lane. When I want to take a deep shot, he comes in for Treylon Burks. When I want to go bigger in the slot, I go Luke McCaffrey. Everyone's got to have a role. Everyone's got to have a role in this wide receiver room. And that's how I look at it. I don't look at them as individual pieces. I look at them as a collection of talent. And right now, even if you're the biggest fan of this team, you got to understand that the collection of talent right now at wide receiver, being real, it's got to get better. It's got to get better. What's the more pressing need for the 2026 Washington Commanders? Is it corner or is it wide receiver? 1-800-636-1067. Your calls on that next.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.